The UK Investor Magazine podcast is brought to you in association with Oanda, the broker of choice for traders who want a smarter way to trade. Trade with Oanda and get 1 year's subscription to TradingView Pro. 76.6% of retail investor accounts lose money when trading CFDs with this provider. You should consider whether you understand how CFDs work and whether you can afford to take the high risk of losing your money.
Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the key market themes out there, as well as looking at a number of UK equities. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by Alan Green. Alan, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
Morning, John. Good to be back again.
Yes, it's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it, since we last recorded for one reason or another. But of course, a lot's been happening in the markets since then, and we're going to be picking up on some of those themes this morning, Alan. As I mentioned, we've got three equities we're going to discuss a little bit later on in the podcast. One of those companies is an upcoming IPO, so we're going to be looking at what's happening there with that company. But to start with, Alan, I think it would be fitting to look at what's happening out there in the UK economy. And this morning we have inflation data, which shows that we are still seeing prices increase in excess of 10%. There was an expectation that it would fall beneath that level. However, inflation hasn't fallen as much as first thought. So it's 10.1% inflation, and it's very much a food story. Looking here, it's food prices going up. That's keeping the index higher, and that's going to cause some concerns, Alan, for the Bank of England. They would have been hoping for a lower figure. There are predictions, of course, that the UK could fall into a recession at some point this year. We did miss it in the first quarter with the recent data that we got out from February. But it looks as though things are starting to soften. We had some unemployment data yesterday. The unemployment rate has marginally moved higher, but we are still seeing faster wages. So couple that together with higher prices today, that does bode not particularly well for investors that were looking for a Bank of England pivot. We talk about a pivot, and we really attribute that to the Federal Reserve. But people here in the UK are looking forward to when the Bank of England will start to be lowering rates or indeed stop hiking rates. But Alan, looking at this data this morning, are you expecting to see further rate hikes from the Bank of England in the coming months?
I think that's almost inevitable, John. I think with the consistently high inflation month on month, the interest rate increases haven't yet been sufficient to tackle inflation and to trigger a fall below double digits. And I think this is the primary concern that the Bank of England governor and the committee will have when they meet. And I fully expect that we'll see interest rates take another 25 basis point hike, which obviously isn't good news for consumers, for borrowers. Of course, it's going to mean higher mortgage payments once again. It seems to be the only weapon at the Bank of England's disposal at the moment to get a hold on this. But we're not alone in this, of course. You know, the US is facing similar challenges, and of course the European Central Bank core inflation there. Data from there this morning show that core inflation had edged up. So pressure is going to be on the countries using the euro and the European Central Bank to look at possibly a further hike in interest rates there to keep that inflation in check. So it's a common problem that's across the eurozone, here in Europe, in Europe and of course in the UK. So I don't think the interest rate hikes are over yet by any means.
Indeed. And just looking at what's happening out there in markets, it's quite a pronounced move that we're seeing in the FTSE 250. That's down about 0.6% on the day. If we're looking at the FTSE 100, that's down, but not as much, down 0.4%. And the stocks that are leading the way to the downside are the ones that you'd expect. You're looking at some of the precious metals miners out there, particularly FTSE 100, Fresnillo, that's down 4% on the day. Obviously concerns there, further hikes. That dampens demand for precious metals, including silver that Fresnillo mines. Ocado, another big faller out there, down 3%. Higher prices have been a thorn in the side of Ocado for the last year or so. They had a big boost during the pandemic, but that's really fallen off since, and that premium end of the market is starting to be hit. You know, looking at the third biggest faller actually here today, Alan, is Antofagasta. We're going to speak a little bit more about them. We had some data out yesterday from China, which was actually good news for the miners. We saw GDP for the first quarter in China grow faster than expected. It increased 4.5%. That was good news. We saw a good bounce in the miners yesterday, but we're seeing that fall off today. Obviously concerns there about what's happening in the UK economy, sapping confidence out of UK equities. But let's now talk about Antofagasta, Alan, of course, a copper miner. You know, this is one that's inextricably linked to what's happening in China, of course. Mm-hmm. You've seen the pandemic rumble on a lot further in China in terms of the economic consequences than it has for the rest of the world. We saw a bounce at the end of last year on the reopening. But today, Antofagasta's news is very much about, you know, what they're doing as a company as opposed to external factors. We had their production numbers out. I mean, the stock at the moment's down 2.8%, but if you compare that to Anglo American, also down 2.3%, not as heavily focused on copper. So this is very much an Anto story that we're looking at here. So what does that production figures look like, Alan?
Well, production figures are very strong, but of course Antofagasta is very much focused on Chile. And of course, when we look at Chile, we have this image of this very narrow, thin strip of land. But it is, in fact, a huge country. If you lay Chile across Europe, it would stretch from the northern tip of Norway all the way down to Morocco. It's a huge country. It's very rich in mineral deposits. And, of course, Antofagasta controls a number of mines across Chile. It's one of the world's biggest producers, biggest producers of copper. The company is the company produced first quarter copper production in line with expectations at 145,900 tons. Production at one of its key mines, the Los Pelambres mine, was affected by reduced water availability. Of course, water is an essential part of the mining process. Antofagasta said the company has completed a desalination plant and the concentrator at Los Pelambres. So it means that once that desalination plant is completed, of course, it can utilize seawater, which, of course, there's a limitless supply of, to continue its mining. So looking forward, the chief exec, Ivan Arrigada, said this morning that they expect Los Pelambres production to increase during the year to meet production and cash cost guidance on the year of between 670 to 710,000 tons of copper. And of course, this is really one of the flagship mines, or the flagship mine for Antofagasta. So good visibility there going forward, and also a very solid set of copper production numbers, but also Antofagasta mines molybdenum and of course gold, produced 42,200 ounces of gold in the first quarter. So you know, this is one of the world's largest mining companies. It's up there with Belitón and Rio Tinto and others, which is reflected in a 15.9 billion market capitalization. And so far, you know, we've seen a pretty strong share price performance on the year. We saw year highs back in January, where the stock hit £18.37 per share. That's up from lows last summer of £9.71 per share. And we're currently trading, of course, at £15.88. The company pays a 3.1% dividend yield. So I think with these numbers and with this visibility, we should be seeing sustained share price performance over the year. Although if you look back historically over the previous year's performance, we'll always see a drop off or a tail off in performance in the summer. So if you're going to invest in the company, you might want to wait until later in the year when historic production the historical performance of the share price tends to pick up. But a good set of numbers. And of course, the company has a raft of other mines across Chile. And I fully expect to see going forward the company to hit its production targets. And I was talking to somebody yesterday in the mining business, and it's important to realize that to have producing mines producing quality product like this is hugely important in today's world. We're seeing this shift in the economy into energy, into EVs and everything else. And of course, all the metals required to power those are more important than ever. And that's why you're seeing the cost per ton of the raw materials rising all the time. But also when you're looking for new mines, so we're talking about, you know, mining exploration companies, it's incredibly hard. Less than 1% of all of the mines discovered actually end up going past the DFS, that's the definitive feasibility study stage, and into production. So it gives you some idea of the challenges out there facing miners. So when you've got a company like Antofagasta that's got all these quality mines under its ownership, you can be pretty sure you've got a solid investment, and the visibility and demand for what it produces for the future is looking pretty solid.
Indeed, indeed. Of course, people speak of Dr. Copper and the implications but the reflection of copper of what the underlying economy is doing. And I don't think there is a better pure play out there on London markets than Antofagasta.
Agreed.
To play into that story. You know, as soon as we start to see the global economy pick up again, the correlation with the price of copper is very, very strong, and one would expect the price of copper to pick up. And the problems that Antofagasta saw last year, of course, they saw falling earnings. That was a result largely of a lower copper price last year, which has since picked up again. So, yeah, looking forward to their half-year earnings that will be coming up and just seeing how they're doing as a business and of course, dealing with the increasing prices there. So that was Antofagasta there with a ticker of ANTO. So, Alan, we're going to move on now and we're going to discuss another mineral company. It's one that we've discussed on the podcast previously. It's one that we haven't touched on in recent weeks. It's been a little bit quiet, but it's Greatland Gold. Just looking here at the share price, we seem to be bouncing around the lows. There's little spikes up here and there, which are sold into. But I think it'd be good today, you know, whilst there's a lull in updates from the company, just a recap of what's happened so far this year at Greatland.
It's been quite an eventful year. And yeah, I mean, looking at the share price of Greatland at the moment, shares currently trading at 7.7p, been as high as 14.8p on the year. But of course, you know, that performance is largely reflected across the more junior end of the marketplace. And I think we can say that you know, even with a market cap of 394 million, you know, Greatland is toward the junior end of the market when you compare it to a giant like Antofagasta or Rio Tinto. But certainly, you know, the Greatland, of course, made the remarkable discovery, or the award-winning discovery a few years back, of the Havieron Golden Copper Project, which is in the Paterson region of Western Australia. And of course, this was discovered by Greatland. They discovered this magnetic bullseye. And of course, the Havieron Gold Deposit was discovered. And since that time, of course, as often happens when you make a discovery, you get there, you get into the ground, you complete your drilling work, and you discover that the actual strike of the asset that's under the ground continues off in another direction. And they found this with Greatland. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. But of course, Greatland are engaged with a joint venture with ASX mining giant Newcrest Mining. Again, Newcrest, another company up there with the likes of Anto, Fagasta, and all the rest of it. And this is how these mining majors actually progress, as well as producing commodities that will always be in demand. Of course, they progress and grow through working with the juniors to develop mining assets such as Greatland. So Newcrest, of course, strategically has its own Telfer gold mine, some 45 kilometers east of Havieron. So, of course, this is west of Havieron. What the company are doing here, they have accelerated the development of Havieron over the year, and they're currently engaged in building what we call the mine decline. Of course, that's the decline that goes into the ground to actually get to the point where you can excavate and bring the gold out and bring it to production. But of course, what they're going to do is they're going to leverage up the existing Telfer infrastructure and processing plant, take all of the product from Havieron and process it at the Telfer asset, which is already, of course, in production. So that's going to save costs, improve economies of scale, and improve on so many levels. But likewise, alongside Havieron, Greatland also is working on a number of other assets, including the Scallywag deposits and several other wonderfully named assets that are in the ground there. But I think the most important thing is that in the recent financial summary, of course, the company's had a very strong year financially. They had 59.8 million cash at the end of last year, total debt of 43 million, but of course they invested 12.2 million into the development of Havieron, they also, of course, have other joint venture costs. One of the assets, the Jury joint venture, which is also funded by Newcrest Mining, they incurred costs there too. But during the period, they also updated the mineral resource for Havieron to 85 million tons of, at 2 grams per ton of gold and 0.26% copper. So that equates to a total of 5.5 million ounces of gold and 222 kilotons of copper. From a corporate standpoint, the company also enhanced its board, brought in Natural Resources Investment Banker Mark Barnaba, former Fortescue Chief Executive Elizabeth Gaines joined the board, and former BHP Billiton President Jimmy Wilson came in to join the board too. I mentioned the 59.8 million the company has in cash. That's a lot of that came from the equity raise, which included half of that money. The equity raise was 63 million. 33.5 million came from Wyloo Metals, a privately owned mineral investment company. And of course, despite the fact this is a joint venture with Newcrest, Greatland retains 30% ownership of the Havieron asset, which is going to be hugely important going forward once the mine is in production. So I think Greatland have got a very good core asset here, and I guess we can say it's probably a 394 million moving from small cap toward mid cap, but I'm sure once the mine is in production, the great thing is it will be generating cash for Greatland, which will then help it to self-fund other projects that it's involved with, of course, Jury being one, Scallywag deposit being the other, and a number of other earlier stage assets. So, you know, a really exciting juncture for Greatland, and I'm sure all Greatland shareholders are waiting for the day when the first ore is mined from the new mine.
Indeed, indeed. And I think it's just a case of being patient with a company like this. You know, the undertaking they've got is significant. It takes a lot of time, a lot of resources to get into production. And let's not forget that this stock is up 1,260% over the last 5 years. It's trading at 7p. Berenberg have just put out, well, not just put out, in the last couple of weeks, put out a price target of 20 pence. That's obviously assuming that they move into production and start the cash flows there. Mm. But again, as I say, these companies take a long time to get into production, and it's usually just a case of being patient. So we're going to move on now, Alan, and discuss a company that's just released its schedule for an IPO on the London market. It's Golden Metal Resources. What does that look like?
It is Gold Medal Resources, and yes, I've had the privilege of working with the team there over the past year or so. Oliver Friesen is the chief executive of the company when it comes to market, and of course, this is Gold Medal Resources owns a package of interests in Nevada within the Walker Lane Gold Belt. It's a very prolific area for mines, mining production, and is very, very asset rich across the board. So, of course, it's the gold metal asset portfolio has largely been spun out of Power Metal Resources, which currently holds an 83.1% stake in the company prior to admission. And of course, once the company IPOs, that will reduce, given, of course, that many millions of shares will be held by retail investors and institutions. But the IPO is expected to take place early next month. So as we speak now, John, we are just a few weeks away from that IPO. Gold Metal has a package of interests in Nevada. The primary or the flagship project is, of course, it's focused on tungsten. Well, the company's focused on tungsten, gold, copper, and silver. The Pilot Mountain project is in Mineral County in Western Nevada, 14.8 square kilometers. There's very good infrastructure there in terms of power, roads, existing mining infrastructure in the region. And the Pilot Mountain project is a project that has a JORC resource for tungsten in the ground there. And of course, tungsten is a very important metal for the defense industry, and has a multitude of other applications. And this is the asset has silver, gold, and zinc credits included within the package there. Gold Metal also has the Golconda Summit project. It's an exploration stage gold and silver in Humboldt County. Alongside that, we have the Garfield project, also in Mineral County, 39 gold or lode mining claims covering 3.2 kilometers for Garfield. And finally, the Stonewall project, an exploration gold and silver property prospective for epithermal gold silver mineralization on the northern flank of the Stonewall Mountain in Nye County, Nevada. So geographically, all these assets are very close together. So from an operational standpoint, it's very advantageously put together as a company. And Oliver Friesen, I know when I interviewed him last year, he was waxing lyrical about the potential of these projects. And in particular, he said to me at the time that the Golconda project, he thinks, will creep up on us as a project of great value. He's really excited about what they're going to find there. So, yeah, the company's coming to market, as I say, in a few weeks. It's being spun out of Power Metal Resources. So, of course, given Power Metal Resources have that interest in the company, you can get exposure right now to that. Where you can either speak to your broker and buy into the stock directly pre-IPO if you haven't already done so, or of course you can gain exposure to that by buying stock in Power Metal Resources. But either way, I think this morning we've covered the entire spectrum of mining, all the way from Antofagasta through to Greatland Gold as a mid-cap, and of course right at the other end of the scale we have the early stage mining company IPO, Gold Medal Resources, set to float on AIM early in May 2023.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point that you make there, Alan. Of course, we started off with an established FTSE 100 miner moving towards one then in Greatland Gold, which is in the process of moving towards production. And then we finish off with one that's at the, you know, the earliest stages of things. And of course, you know, there is a scale of risk as we move through those companies as well, in terms of the volatility that you expect to see from those shares, as well as the potential for any dividends going forward. So just a final point here, Alan. It's quite interesting to see Golden Metal Resources coming to the market, because we've seen earlier on in the week some M&A activity. Of course, Sega made a big bid for Rovio. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've seen... saw an approach for the Hutt Group by a private equity group. So, you know, looking at this activity, you know, bringing companies to market, companies putting bids in for other companies, do you think there's a bit of optimism coming back into markets at the moment?
Well, I don't think that optimism ever went away. I just think we're in, investors are seeing opportunities in the markets now because they are so low. And at some stage, of course, that will change. And certainly I attended Mines and Money last year, and We Are Mining, the one-to-one where you're able to go and grill the CEO. Next week, of course, we have Mines and Money Connect, which is an opportunity to grill the CEO one-to-one. And then, of course, we have other investing shows. I was at Master Investor last weekend, as were you, John, and there was an awful lot of interest there. We saw, you know, investors were attending in their droves and keen to talk to companies that were on the stands there. And I know when I walked round, there was one corridor of companies in particular, and it was jam packed. You couldn't get down it, so I had to walk around and go the other way. And that's always good to see. There's plenty of interest in early stage stocks and, of course, late stage stocks. And I think investors are there, they're investing and they're keen, because the markets are so low at the moment, comparatively speaking. Some stocks are so low, that's going to change. And of course, the old saying, you've got to be in it to win it.
Indeed. Yeah, picking up on the show, it was pleasing to see how many people turned up. Some of the conversations that we had there really echo what you say there, Alan. You know, in terms of the optimism, it hadn't really gone away. I just think there was, you know, some concerns that came in about the economy, but I think there was always this underlying feeling that we're going to move past whatever bump in the road that we have in the economy. You know, it's something that's probably going to be brought on by central banks, to some extent going to be managed by them. Interest rates are much higher than they have been for the last decade or so. So there's plenty of movement there to stimulate the economy if we see any downturn. And I think generally people are looking at things to put their money into at the moment. You know, I think there is that willingness to look at new opportunities. Mm. Of course, there's new IPOs coming up. You know, that we're aware of some that are, you know, scheduled to come on, you know, being delayed for whatever reason. You know, that always happens when there's a bit of wobbles in the market. But, you know, generally things are looking a little bit more optimistic. So it'll be interesting to see how things pan out during the summer, whether we see that the sell in May or go away. But with the FTSE where we are now, approaching that 8,000 level again, we've obviously recovered some of those losses after the banking crisis sector. So, yeah, setting up for an interesting summer ahead. So just a recap of the stocks that we discussed today. First of all was Antofagasta, which trades under the ticker of ANTO. We then moved on to discuss Greatland Gold, which has a ticker of GGP. And we finished off there with Golden Metal Resources, set for an IPO, a spin out of Power Metal. Golden Metal Resources has a ticker, or set to have a ticker, of GMT. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks again, John.
So just as a final note to listeners, we have the next instalment of our virtual conferences coming up next week, the 25th of April. We have Tech Capital presenting, as well as Hercules Site Services. So do check out the events section of the UK Investor Magazine website and get yourself signed up. Thank you very much for listening. This podcast was presented by Oanda, TradingView's most popular broker. Trade with Oanda and get 1 year subscription to TradingView Pro. 76.6% of retail investor accounts lose money when trading CFDs with this provider. You should consider whether you understand how CFDs work and whether you can afford to take the high risk of losing your money.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.